Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got an open mic hour today, and I'm so glad you're able to join me. Our guest that was scheduled had something come up, so we had to reschedule him for the month of October, but right now we are ready to go. So this is going to be an open mic hour today, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, here are the toll-free numbers for you to call into. 877-876-5227, that's for USA, 877-876-5227, or from Canada, toll-free, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And if you'd like to call in on our direct line, the telephone number is 530-876-9146. That's 530-876-9146. And I will repeat, our guest was not able to make it this afternoon. They have been rescheduled, and we are going to be having them on in October. But meanwhile, I have got so many wonderful things to share with you. So we are going to do exactly that, but give me a call if you'd like for me to chat with you today. Here is a quote by Oscar Wilde that I really like, and I thought it was a wonderful way to start the show today. One should sympathize with the joy, the beauty, the color of life. The less said about life soars, the better. Isn't that a visual statement? One should sympathize with the joy, the beauty, the color of life. The less said about life soars, the better. Have you ever noticed when you really focus on what isn't going right, how everything seems to magnify? And it is an amazing process that we go through when we are experiencing that. And goodness gracious, we all do it. We all do. We all have those moments where maybe our energy isn't so hot, and maybe we've just got a lot of problems, a lot of challenges. We're tired, we're weary, and we're focusing on all the wrong stuff. That's where I find my wonderful library, such a tremendous assistant. Or I will find that music is a wonderful assistant. And you may say, Donna, you're saying the word assistant. Well, that's what they are. They assist me, doesn't cost anything. They assist me to put my mind where it needs to be. And hear my words. I put my mind where it needs to be. And that means you have to be consciously present with where you are in a moment. And then take responsibility for choosing how you want your mind to go, what route you want your mind to follow. And that's so very, very important. So when I saw that quote by Oscar Wilde, I thought, those are powerful words. Because if you focus on the sores in life, then you are going to be aware of anything and everything that you shouldn't be. I think sometimes a good habit to have is if you really want to be in your pity pot and really have a good time with it, set a timer. Give yourself 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you really want to be magnanimous with yourself, make it a half hour. And then, when that timer goes off, say shift and find something good to do. Lots of times when we make a disciplined effort to shift, we're going to take control of what our thinking is, where we're going, what we want to do. We'll get organized, we'll get disciplined, and more than anything else, we'll take back control of how we're thinking. And isn't that a wonderful thing to do? There was a little boy, his name was Tim, and he had an experience. He was only 7 years old. And my goodness, when you're 7 years old, you just get so anxious about so many things, don't you? We like to think that kids don't ever have concerns, but they do, and especially when they're in school. And Tim happened to have a new teacher who announced that on a particular Friday, it was going to be his turn to do show and tell. Oh my goodness, he had a knot in his stomach just as big as the outdoors. At least that's how he felt about it. And the other students, of course, whenever you're in school, remember your days in school? The kids would go, hee-hee, it's your turn. Ha ha ha, you got to come up with this stuff. Well, Tim was just, what am I going to do? So his head was down, and he had really been dreading this day ever since the school year had started. Now, this little boy, he didn't have any pictures of family vacations. He hadn't even been on one. He didn't have any special toys that he could talk about like the other kids did. Tim, in fact, didn't have too much of anything except his soon-to-be too small secondhand clothes. Now, it hadn't always been like this, but Tim's mom had become gravely ill a few years before, and His dad's salary, well, he was a store manager, just was barely able to cover all of her very expensive medical expenses. And he had to also take care of food and utilities, the house payments, so there wasn't much left over for the kids. Well, little Tim, when he went home, was really in a just an unbelievable fretting state of mind. And he just knew that when he got up, when he was called on by the teacher, he was just going to be doing terribly. So he decided he wanted to talk to his dad about this. And he asked his dad, he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" His dad said, "Sure." He said, "You know, Daddy, they're going to laugh at me. I've got nothing to tell them about it, show and tell, and I've got to do something next Friday." Well, his dad was a very wise man. And he looked at his son, and he said, "They're not going to laugh at you, and I'm going to show you why they're not going to laugh at you." And he reached for an old rusty railroad spike that sat on his desk, and it was a paperweight that he used to keep his bills into place. And he said, "Now, what do you think about this old railroad spike? Looks like a piece of junk, doesn't it? Doesn't have any value." And little Tim, he said, "That's right, Daddy. Doesn't look like much at all, just a great big fat nail." His dad then responded to him by saying these words. He said, "The eyes don't always see everything there is to see, Tim. You have to use your mind and your imagination to discover all the possibilities that exist. I know, sounds very confusing to you, but I want you to just think of this metal melted down and made into something else." Well, little Tim said, "You mean like a toy truck?" "Like a toy. What else could this old nail be turned into?" "A wrench?" "That's right. Now keep going." "Even a rocket ship?" "Yes. And even like the scalpel that surgeons will use to remove your mother's tumor and make her well again." Now what Tim's dad did, he handed him this piece of metal, this old, old, rusty railroad spike. And he said, "Now, I want you to see this for what it really is. It has unlimited value, and so do you, Tiger." Little Tim's eyes were sparkling. He knew what he had to do, and he knew he had just something so fabulous to talk about at show and tell. And he said, "I love you, Dad." His dad responded by saying, "I love you, too. Now, let's go get a sheet of paper and write down a long list of metal objects you can talk about. Come that next Friday, you're going to show, tell, and teach." Isn't it a wonderful story? This is what we're all about. And it takes that kind of a shift. So where are you going to put your mind? How are you going to handle the challenges that may face you today, tomorrow, the next day? It doesn't make any difference. What are you going to do with your old rusty mental nail? That old railroad spike of thought? Well, you can hammer it into place, or you can mold it into something different. It's all up to you. This is Donna Sebo, and if you would like to chat with me today, you're more than welcome to do so. Telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free at 877-876-5227. That's for the USA. Toll-free from Canada is 888-810-8322. And also we have a direct line, 530-876-9146. And if you've not been able to listen to the show before, if this is your first time and you'd like to chat with me, all you need to do is pick up the telephone and call. But understand, I just need from you your first name or your initial. Then I'll give you my mental impressions. And after that, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. The other morning, my husband and I, we were out walking, and we just were up so early in the morning, you wouldn't think that you would see very much, because it's getting darker now in earlier hours of the morning at 5 a.m., which was the time that we started doing our walk for the day. Then what happened is I looked up into the sky, and here were these two huge planets. Well, I came across some information regarding watching the stars. And you know, early morning, you can sometimes see the most wonderful, wonderful things. And you may be surprised at the meteors, the shooting stars that you might be able to see. Now, this is still going on. I know we're at the end of August, but it is just amazing. They say you can really find out about a lot of that's going on in space. And for kids, it is absolutely awesome. I can remember when my daughter, when we would sit out and we would watch an eclipse. And it was such an experience to sit there and watch what was happening in the sky above us, and we just experienced it. And I have to tell you, that particular evening, we also watched a gazillion spiders being born, just breaking out of a huge spider's nest. Now, that may sound a little bit uncomfortable, but actually, it was fascinating to see these hundreds and hundreds of itsy-bitsy baby spiders that were breaking out. It was a fascinating evening. We watched nature do her particular activity of magnificence. Now, you can go, if you want to find out, if you have kids, and if you love looking at the sky, depending on where you are in this wonderful world of ours, you can download a free sky map. And there is this website, spaceabout.com/library/weekly/BLSKY maps@.htm. That's spaceabout.com/library/weekly/BISKYMAPS.HTM. And you can find all kinds of constellations. And if you look northeast in the sky, there are particular planets that will be coming up. And, you know, you may not even need binoculars, depending on where you are. I know up in Alaska, it's just incredible to look at the sky. Your unaided eye is best. Meteors cross a wide area of the sky, and binoculars can only focus on a narrow area. And whatever you do, when you see a shooting star, be sure you wish on it. Yes. Your wish may come true. And I think that is a wonderful thing to do. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. We have an open mic hour, and I would be delighted to talk with you if you would like to do that. Or 888-810-8322. That's for Canada. And then there's a direct line, 530-876-9146. And I do want to let you know I've got a wonderful chicken recipe that I'm going to be sharing with you this hour, because I think we're going to have the time to do that. So you want to have that pad of paper and pen handy so that you can really enjoy having the opportunity to try out the recipe. So that'll be coming up later on in the hour. We always are interested in how to take care of ourselves and what we can do to stay well. And so many times there are situations that will come up where we may, how can I say this? Nutrition may not be the answer. There's going to have to be something else that's going to be necessary, and it could involve surgery. And I have a story that I think is a good example of this. And in this situation, it's very, very positive that we have the technology that enables us as people to have the opportunity to find out, or physicians, I should say, have the opportunity to evaluate and find out what's wrong. There was a young woman who brought her grandfather in to this particular physician, and he had been falling down, and they couldn't figure out what it was. Now, I didn't have any dizziness, he had never hit his head, and there was absolutely no passing out whatsoever. And they examined him, and this is a fairly mature gentleman, and they said, you know, he's had a little bit of weakness on his right side. There was a stroke he had had. This gentleman was about 85 years of age, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So they really tried to figure out what was happening with this man. And even though he was 85, they were taking the time and they were examining. But they said, you know, we can't see. We've got x-rays here. And we just can't find, you know, anything that's out of order. So she said, he's been falling a lot. And she said this, it was a nurse who knew the family. And she said, the family is really worried. Well, he said, often when we get to this age, this doctor did, we want to have them in a facility where if they fall, we can treat them right away. But he said, let's do something else here. Let's do a CT scan on the head. And he said, there's a lot of things that can go on with an adult's brain. A lot of different things can happen, and you know, the brain can contract and all kinds of stuff can happen. So what they found was a big subdural in this man's head, and there was evidence of old bleeding. And by golly, they knew they were going to have to do some surgery. So they contacted a neurosurgeon, and by golly, they were able to get in there. And you know what they found? They found that there was an area, a rectangle of bone the size of a credit card, that they were able to cut out, take off, and they were able to see this matter in the brain that was real tight and black, and it was just bulging with clotted blood. And you know what? The surgeon was able to go in, make an X in this mass, allow the accumulated blood to pour out, then irrigated the surface of the brain, and he looked for any ongoing bleeding, put a rubber drain inside that incision, replaced the bone flap, stitched the scalp closed, and stapled the skin shut, done. And do you know what? He's doing just fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. So many times, there are things that go on in the human body that we just are just going to have to understand that can happen. And that's when the skill of someone who has dedicated their life to working with unusual situations can really make a difference. You'll hear on this broadcast how important it is to take care of yourself and have good nutrition. But there are times that we really need to have good care. And it's important to be willing to ask questions. And like this doctor did a CT scan that he didn't think was really necessary, but it was. And in the course of doing that, they found out information that kept the man from being permanently disabled because of this that was going on in the brain. Fascinating stuff. So remember, don't ever give up. You never have an idea. You really don't know. Doctors are not people that are saints. They're people. And depending on what their experience and background is, they are going to, if they're a good physician, they're going to want to do everything they can to help you. And we're all, as human beings, limited in many areas of knowledge and experience. But just like this 85-year-old man, he has a quality of life now that he didn't have before because of a surgeon's skill. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And that's for Canadians, or a direct line of 530-876-9146. Now, I did tell you that my guest today is not going to be with us. That was Andrew Lopez. We have had to reschedule him for October, and so we are going to be having as a guest Adrian Finkelstein tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Marilyn Monroe Returns, and then on Thursday we'll have Carol Edmondson, the Doodle Lady. She has a marvelous story to share. And then on Friday, hey, for those of you that have got young kids going off to college, we're going to be talking to Margot Woodacre. The book that she and her daughter put together is titled I'll Miss You Too. And it's all the adjustments, a mom and a daughter that kept their own diaries and then decided to put it into book form because of all the adjustments that go on when you have a young person leaving home and going off to college. It's quite a wonderful, wonderful book. So we've got a great lineup of guests, and I'll be letting you know who's going to be coming on with me next week as well. Donna Sebo here, and again, I want to mention my guest is not able to join me today. We've had to reschedule, and so telephone lines are open. Give me a call. Dry herbs, are they something you love to use? Oh, they're in my kitchen. I don't know how I would do without them. And you can, if you are avid about being a gardener and you're a little bit apprehensive about how can you use dry herbs. I know we have in our yard, we have some peppermint that's out there growing. Ooh, that's so good. And during the summer in tea, it's wonderful, or just making peppermint tea all by itself. But we mix it in with regular tea, and we also have mint that we put in, different types of mint. So we enjoy that quite a bit. Now, if you want to have dry herbs and you want them out of your own garden, the best time of the day to harvest your herbs is to snip the stalks in the morning as soon as the dew evaporates. After that, the hot sun apparently causes some of the flavor-packed oils on the surface to evaporate. And by the way, if there's any dirt clinging to the cuttings, you want to gently rinse them and you want to spread them on paper to dry. And if you want to put it on newspaper, fine. If you've got butcher paper, whatever it is. But let them dry. Let them air dry. Then you want to take about 5 stems together at the ends and hang them upside down in a warm, dry place away from direct sunlight. And the reason you do that is because sunlight washes out the color. There's a lot of people that love to take their flowers and dry them in that way, and they have wonderful dried flower arrangements. And also, it takes herbs about 2 weeks to reach the crisp stage of dryness. It means that you can then use them. All you have to do is simply hold each stem by its tip, strip the leaves, store them in airtight jars, and then enjoy them. Now, by the way, if you have a recipe that calls for 1 teaspoon of fresh herbs, you can use 1/3 of a teaspoon of the dried herbs. Dried herbs are 2 to 3 times far more potent. And if you want to dry fresh herbs from the supermarket, just be sure you check the plants for damage, especially if they've come from a produce aisle where they were misted, and remove any old leaves before hanging them up to dry. And something that I have found, dependent on where I've shopped and how regularly produce, etc., is turned around and turned over, you may find sometimes that there are little pests, or there might be like a mold that's growing on the backside of some of the leaves. So be sure you check them. You want to check them, and you want to make sure that you use and only dry those that are really the ones that you want to keep. And then all you have to do is just store them in an airtight jar, and they will keep for just about forever. Or if you have any of the vacuum seal, do that. That's a great way to keep them, and they'll just do wonderfully. Now, I know that so many of you really get concerned about summertime, and you want to be sure that you do not abuse yourself, and you want to take care of not getting heat exhaustion. This is not a joke. When I was at the Renaissance Fair, we had such awesome, awesome weather. And the people that were out there, there was one gentleman, very big guy, and I can remember him leaning over a portable water unit, and I took one look at him, and I was so concerned because he was just blood red in the face. And I thought, this guy's got a heat stroke. And he was a pretty big fellow, and I encouraged him to go to the first aid tent that they had on the site, but he said, no, I'm going to go home. Well, if you want to avoid heat exhaustion, you need to remember, and summer's not over. In a lot of areas of the country, the temps are still high, and you need to be wise. You need to make sure that you have plenty of water, because this water helps the body to produce a sweat. It needs to cool off. And if you're going to work out, do it in early morning. I know here in the Pacific Northwest, that's something that we always keep in mind, because we're not accustomed to real high temperatures. So when we get them, we remember that we have to be active earlier in the day rather than later. Also, remember to wear your light colors to reflect the sun's rays, and loose-fitting garments made of breathable fabric like cotton. If you're like me and you wear anything that's synthetic and it's really warm, wow, miserable. It's awful. Also, don't forget a wide-brimmed hat. And hey, you guys, vanity, forget that stuff. Wear, you know, a wide-brimmed hat. We gals try to remember to do it, and it shields you from the hot sun, but more than that, it shields your neck and even your shoulders, dependent on how nice a brim it has on it. And 30 minutes before going out, reapply your sunscreen. If you put it on once, reapply it according to your package directions, because sunburn really is not going to enable your body to cool off. You will be in total misery. And then, if you are taking certain medications such as antihistamines and diuretics, you need to be aware they can make you more susceptible to heat exhaustion. Now, here's some facts and figures about dealing with heat. You can lose up to 2 quarts of water every hour when you're outside in high temperatures. And people with high blood pressure and the elderly are really very much more vulnerable to heat than most of us. And pets, believe me, they can get heat exhaustion too. You want to make sure that there's plenty of shade for the animals and also lots of water. And I'll tell you, my little Scottish Terriers loved ice in their water. Didn't hurt them a bit, and they loved the taste. And I know when I was out, like I said, at the Ren Fair, we had dogs and even cats, people that had animals, and we always had plenty of water that we could share with them. Also, I'd like you guys to know that gals usually sweat less than men, and heavier folks sweat more than trim people, which I think most of us know that. But you need to be aware that the perspiration is not a bad thing. That's helping to cool the body down. So don't forget that water. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back from the break, I've got a love story for you. I've also got a wonderful recipe, chicken with garlic spinach, that I think you'll really enjoy. And you know what? It's ready in less than 30 minutes. And then I have information about ADHD. And I think that there is so much information that has been coming out lately regarding this. And do you know boys get ADHD more than girls? Is that a surprise? Well, I think sometimes the label is inappropriate. That's my own personal bias. Because I've yet to meet a little boy that has a tendency to sit quietly like a little girl. Well, I'm going to share with you a story about a mom and what she found helped her son that had been diagnosed with this, so that he ended up doing some redirection of that excess energy that so often these kids have. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, telephone lines are open if you'd like to call in at 877-876-5227 for the U.S., 888-810-8322 if you're in Canada, or 530-876-9146. Don't you go away now. We'll be back in just a minute. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open. This is an open mic hour, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And the first number is for USA, second number is for Canada, or you can call 530-876-9146. I had promised a recipe for you with chicken with garlic spinach. Now, so many of you are out there, and you are always trying to be aware of what you eat, but one of the biggest sacrifices frequently we make is good taste. Well, you can eat healthy, and you don't have to have your taste buds deprived. And this is a very easy recipe. It can be ready in 30 minutes, and it's one that I think just about anybody would enjoy. So here it is. You got that pad of paper and pen ready? Yeah, there it goes. It's 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts. 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts. A little bit of salt and pepper, according to your own taste. And you're going to need about 3 teaspoons of olive oil. 3 teaspoons of olive oil. And you want to divide that. 1/2 cup of dry Marsala wine. 1/2 cup of dry Marsala wine. 1/3 cup of low-fat, reduced sodium chicken broth. 1/3 cup of chicken broth. 1 1/2 teaspoons of cornstarch. 1 1/2 teaspoons of cornstarch. 4 garlic cloves. You want those sliced. And then 1 pound of ready-to-eat fresh spinach leaves. Not many ingredients, but oh, is it going to taste good. Now, what you want to do, you want to sprinkle your chicken breast with salt and pepper and heat 1/2 of the oil in a large non-stick skillet over medium-high heat. Then, of course, add your chicken breast, saute them on both sides for about 10 minutes total. And you want to then take the chicken out of the skillet. Now, what you'll do next is simple enough. You take your Marsala, your chicken broth, your cornstarch, and mix it all in a measuring cup. You could be doing that while the chicken is cooking. Then you add them to the pan after the chicken's been removed and cook until it's slightly thickened. Put the chicken back in the pan, cook it for about 2 minutes, and then remove the chicken again. You want to wipe the pan clean, add the remaining oil to the pan, add the garlic, saute for 20 seconds, then put in your spinach and cook for 3 minutes until it's wilted. May not even take 3 minutes. Spinach just cooks up so quickly. And then to serve it, you place the mound of the spinach on a plate, add the chicken and the sauce, put it on top, and there you've got it. You've got your vegetable, you've got your meat, and it's fragrant, it's tasty, and have a nice salad, and you've got a fabulous meal. And who knows, maybe you want to have a real fancy dessert to go with it, or just something light, especially during the summer. But that's a recipe that is so easy, and it's so flavorful, and by golly, no time at all to prepare for it. Donna Sebo here, open mic, give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, or from Canada, call 888-810-8322, and also our direct line, 530-876-9146. Now, I do want to remind you, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Marilyn Monroe, and Adrian Finkelstein is going to be my guest. This is a fascinating piece of material that he's published, and he's got documentation. And it's a person, it's all about a special individual and Marilyn Monroe, the association. So I think you're going to enjoy it. And then, of course, on Thursday, we'll have the Doodle Lady, Carol Edmondson. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Margot Woodacre on I Miss You Too, what it's like to send a young person off to college and how to cope with it. Donna Siebel here, and I wanted to share with you this story about how karate really made a difference for a mom whose name is April Stoll. And this means so much to me because I have a very dear friend whose grandson, very, very bright boy, needed to be involved in some kind of an activity, and he got involved with the martial arts, and what a change it has made in him. And he's been involved now, I think, for a good 4 years, and it's just been marvelous. He just got his first degree black belt, and it has just meant so much because it has shown him what he's capable of. Well, April Stoll really wanted to do something for her five-year-old son. His name is Courtney, and he just was not wanting to talk to his mom. He was on medication. He had been diagnosed with having ADHD, and she said, this was awful. The doctors had tried one medication after the other. Well, now April is in Indianapolis, and she was very concerned if he was taking off his medication. And by the way, there are over 2.5 million children at this time on medication for attention deficit disorders. That is just, in my mind's view, an appalling number. I don't think it's positive, but that's my personal bias. And she said, there's got to be a better way. These medications have their side effects. They're just not working well. Well, people would comment on her son, how he was just always going. And at mealtimes, he just would shove food down as fast as he could. When it came to bedtime, it was up and down, up and down, up and down. Do any of your parents out there have things like this going on? And she said she just got really concerned because it was like he was on hyperspeed. He just couldn't slow down. And when he went into kindergarten, his kindergarten teacher said, he can't finish anything. He's constantly on the go. Kids didn't want to interact with him because he was really aggressive, and he couldn't understand that. He said, why don't kids want to play with me? So April and her husband said, all right, let's find out. So they had some testing done, and he was diagnosed. And the neurologist, very wise neurologist, said to her, the medication is not working. Why don't you put him into karate? Now, he said, what will happen is that it demands constant, intense energy, and because it is a very fast pace, it might hold their son's attention. And having concrete goals like mastering moves might also help him to learn how to focus. Well, April wasn't sure about this, but she brought him to a particular martial arts facility and was just astonished. He started into this, and he was having the time of his life, and he was good. And in school, at kindergarten, the teacher said, wow, I don't know what's created the change, but this your son is just doing beautifully. April said she never realized something like this could make such a difference. And she said, I attribute it 100% to the martial arts training. And her son now is 6, and she says he's just such a wonderful kid. And he's got friends, things are happening. So often, and they find it more with boys than they do with the girls. And girls can have some of this too, but usually it's the boys. They have got so much energy. And that's why putting them into something like the martial arts or into an activity that keeps them busy and keeps them focused is absolutely marvelous because it gives them a safe environment to put their energy into play. And I have to share with you a story about a friend of mine. He said he had learned a long time ago, his name was Pete, and Pete had this huge family, And he said there was such a big difference between boys and girls. He said, they just, I don't care how you make it. He said, I can talk to any of my nieces, and I can give them my Pete evil eye, and they'll sit still. I'll tell them, you don't go anywhere, you just sit right there. But he said, the boys, I can tell them something, and the next thing I know, they're doing exactly what they're not supposed to be doing. And he told me that he had a fruit tree orchard. And the boys, he'd catch them trying to climb the trees. And he'd go out there and he'd say, now, you are not to climb these trees. And he said, I knew exactly what they were going to do. Because I was a boy at one time, too, and I knew exactly what I did. So he said, I'd go and I'd get busy with doing something, and then I'd deliberately walk back, and sure enough, those boys would be right back up there in those trees. So he said, I had to find something for them to do. I had to put them to work or have them do something that could focus their energy. And he said, they've just got so much of it. He said, if I could bottle it and sell it, I'd make a million. And I think that's true. And I think sometimes today we forget that. We forget that the boys and the girls need to run. They need to play. They need to be able to put their energy someplace. And it's not like it was so many years ago where kids would be able to go down to the creek and go fishing or do some other things. And they don't have the chores like they used to have. Not on big farms where everybody has to pull their own load. We have a much different environment. So when you can put kids into opportunities where they can physically, mentally be challenged and also learn how to focus and become disciplined, it is a wonderful thing to do. And I'm really very, very, very strongly supportive of the martial arts because I've seen wonderful things happen with girls and boys, and it's just been great. Now, there is a positive side of the attention deficit disorder, and that is the people that usually are diagnosed with this, they have vibrant imagination, they're very creative, they have unlimited energy, very optimistic, they're open-minded, they're artistic, they've got a wonderful charisma, and they have a lot of enthusiasm. Do you think you have someone in your family that might have this kind of a condition? Well, this is some of the these are some of the symptoms that can affect adults that can also affect kids. Feeling overwhelmed and disorganized, not able to focus on everyday tasks. Tasks are never finished. They're impulsive. They procrastinate. They have irritability, temper, excessive talking, blurting things out, talking without thinking first. Feel socially awkward, and they also tune out without meaning to, not hearing what's going on around them. So if any of these arise, why not do some reading and research on this? And I'll tell you something, I've interviewed some physicians, and I probably will be having them on again in the future, who've done a lot of research with young people and even adults. They have patternings like this. And what they have found is the computer has been one of the greatest tools that they could ever use. Why? Because they find that most of the time young people are more than happy to work on a computer and they'll be totally focused and concentrated. So they've developed exercises and trainings that enable the children and or the adults develop that part of their self-discipline that enables them to sit still, that enables them to concentrate and to focus and to finish and get things done. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322, and that's for Canada, or 530-876-9146. We're going to be taking a break. This is Amokan Open Mic Hour, and when we come back, more good things to share. This time, a love story. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I don't know about you, but life has its serendipitous moments. And when you experience them, you never forget them because they are there with that special kind of magic. Well, I'd like for you to step back in time a little bit. Use your imagination. We're going back to the 1940s, early 1940s. In fact, the month of August in 1942, we're going to be going back to Poland. There is an area of Poland, and there were a group of people that were in Poland that were waiting to be herded into a square. It was a group of Jewish people. And word had gotten around in this particular community in Poland that they were going to be taken by the Gestapo to a different place. Now, This is about Herman Rosenblatt. And Herman lives in Miami Beach, Florida at this time. And this is a love story that has a very, very special taste to it that we wouldn't often expect in a situation that would be as, as ugly as this one was during the Second World War. And, you know, here's Herman with his family. He was only 11 years of age, and he was very tall for his age. And his brother said to him, I want you to make sure you tell them that you're 16. Don't tell them that you're 11. So he said, okay. Well, he was scared. And when the SS officer was approaching him, asked him his age, he did what his brother had suggested. He told him 16. And he directed him to where his brothers, his three brothers, and some other young men were already standing. And then his mother was motioned into another direction, along with the other women, children, sick and elderly people. And he ran over to where his mom was and said he wanted to stay with her. She said, no, you get away from me. Don't be a nuisance. Go with your brothers. Now, he said this was not the way his mother spoke to him. And he was just stunned. But he listened, went over to his brothers, and he said they were transported in a cattle car to Germany. And they arrived at the Buchenwald concentration camp about weeks later, and then they were led into the crowded barracks. They were given uniforms and identification numbers, and he said to his brothers, don't call me Herman anymore. Call me 94983. And he said he then was given a very ugly job, and that was that of loading the dead into a hand-cranked elevator. He said, I became very hardened. I wasn't Herman. I was merely a number. And he said we ended up being sent to another subcamp. And he said this one time I was in a deep sleep, and I heard my mother say, son, I am sending you an angel. And he woke up. And he said it was so absolutely real. He heard a voice just as clear as a bell. But he said, there are no angels. I'm in such an ugly place. There's only work. We're starving, and we're terrified. Well, a few days after he had arrived in this second camp, he was walking around behind the barracks, and he was near a barbed wire fence, and the guards couldn't see him very easily there, and he was all by himself. Now, on the other side of the fence, he spotted a young girl. He said she had very light, almost luminous curls, and she was half hidden behind a birch tree on the other side of the fence. He said, I glanced around to make sure no one saw me, and I spoke to her softly in German. Do you have something to eat? Well, she didn't understand. And I inched a little bit closer to the fence and repeated the question in Polish, my native language. And she stepped forward. He said, I was so thin and gaunt. He said, there were rags I had wrapped around my feet. But this young girl was unafraid, and he said, in her eyes, I saw an expression of life I'll never forget. She pulled an apple from her woolen jacket, and she threw it over the fence. He said, I grabbed it, and as I started to run away, I heard her say faintly to me, I'll see you tomorrow. Now, he didn't believe that this young girl was going to be coming back. It was far too dangerous. But he said, I returned the same time the next day. She was there, the very same girl. And she was very cautious when she moved from behind the tree, and she threw something again over the fence. This time, she had wrapped a small hunk of bread around a piece of stone. He said, I ate it ravenously. He said, I wish I'd been able to get enough to share with my brothers. And when I looked up, the girl was gone. Well, he said, I returned to the same spot by the fence at the same time every day. She was always there for something, with something, for me to eat, maybe a piece of bread or an apple, and we didn't speak, and we didn't loiter. To be caught would mean death for both of us. He didn't know anything about her. He said she was just a kind farm girl, except she understood Polish. He didn't know her name. The questions, why was she doing this for me? There was no hope for where we were. And this other girl, why was she there? He said it was stirring something inside of me, and that stirring was hope. Now, 7 months later, he and his brothers were crammed into a coal car and shipped into a camp in Czechoslovakia. And he had to tell the girl that they were leaving. He said, don't return. And he said, I never said goodbye to this girl. I never learned her name, the girl with the apples and the bread. You see, we were in this camp for 3 months, and the war was winding down, and the Allied forces were closing in, but my fate seemed sealed. Because on May 10, 1945, I was scheduled to die in the gas chamber at 10 a.m. He said, I tried to prepare myself. He said, I had come so close to death so many times. And he said, I thought of my parents, and he said, well, when I die, we'll be reunited. Now, at 8 a.m., there was a big commotion. He heard shouts. People were running all over the place. And to their amazement, Russian troops had liberated the camp. Everyone was amazed. All of his brothers had survived somehow. And he said he knew that the only reason he was still alive is because of the girl that was feeding him food every day. He said, in a place where evil seemed to prevail and to have triumph, one person's goodness had saved my life and had given me hope where I had none. And he said, my mother had promised in my dream to send me an angel, and the angel had come. Well, he said, eventually I made my way to England, and I was sponsored by a Jewish charity and put up in a hostel with other boys who had survived the Holocaust, and I was trained in electronics. Then I came to America. My brother Sam was already in the States. He said, I served in the U.S. Army during the Korean War and returned to New York City after a couple of years. And by 1957, I had opened my own electronics repair shop. He said, I was starting to settle in. Now, one day, his friend, his name was Sid, said, I have got a date for you. Well, let me tell you, Herman wasn't interested in a blind date. That was the last thing. But Sid kept pestering him. So he picked up the date and her friend, Roma. He said, Roma was a nurse at a Bronx hospital, and she was pretty as she could be. And she was so easy to talk to. You know what turned out? Found out she didn't want to do blind dates either. We were both just doing her friends a favor. And he said, we just had a wonderful time. Now, she asked a question of him when they were coming back on the date. Where were you during the war? And he told her about the camps. She said, I know my family was hiding on a farm in Germany, not far from Berlin. He and my father knew someone, and we were able to get papers to get out. So they had all suffered. And she said, you know what? There was a camp next to this farm, and I saw a boy there, and I threw him apples every day. So he asked him. He got chills. He said, what did he look like? Oh, he was tall, skinny, hungry. She said, I must have seen him every day for 6 months. He couldn't believe it. Did he tell you one day not to come back because he was leaving the camp? She said, yes. He said, that was me. He couldn't believe it. There was his angel in the back of a car on a blind date. He said, I didn't wait a second longer. I proposed to her right then and there. Didn't want to wait. She said, you're crazy. But you know what? He said, we've ended up being married for 50 years. We have 2 children and 3 grandchildren. And I never felt I would find her again. And when I did, I couldn't ever let her go. It's a beautiful love story, and it's a great way to end the show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Let love into your life. You never know when that serendipitous moment is going to come in and touch your heart and touch your mind. And this is as good a day as any. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And have a great one. It's a good day to be alive. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.